You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You give me one shot here on a blue chip stock. Believe me, Kevin. Only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more. Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back, the Wolves of Ball Street, here with another episode of the Draft Act NBA Draft Podcast, and it is NBA Draft Week. We have finally made it. The time has come, and we are banging out some of the most important episodes of the draft season. Today's episode, we are hitting Jalen Suggs. My name is Corey Tulliba. I am your host here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Gim. Albert, you're in New York. You flew across the country. How you holding up with the time difference right now?
Hey, man, it's insane. First off, I just want to say I'm not at home right now, not in my normal setup. Corey can see it in the background. I'm in some foreign place, but it's weird.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I don't see the Jordans.
Right. I'm holding my mic like Malika Andrews, courtside, you know, interviewing myself. But it's awesome, man. It feels great to be back home. I know I live in LA, but for our listeners, I'm actually from New York, born and raised, lived here 28 years of my life before I moved to LA. So it's good to be home. Good to see family. But honestly, why am I here? Why are we here right now? For the draft, dude. And we're about to, I think it's hilarious how we've been diving so deep into all these players, and then we just saved Suggs and Cade for the last week, saving the best for last. So I'm hyped, man. I'm excited. And let's do this, Corey.
All right. Let's just get into it. Jalen Suggs, guard out of Gonzaga, just turned 20 years old, 6'4", 6'5", wingspan, reportedly 205 pounds. 14.4 points per game, 5.3 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists a game on 2.5 turnovers, 1.9 steals, 0.3 blocks. Shooting splits of 50, 34, 75, true shooting percentage of 60%. He was the WCC Newcomer of the Year. He was Minnesota, Mr. Basketball and Mr. Football. He's a three-time FIBA gold medalist. He led Gonzaga to a nearly perfect record before losing in the finals to the Baylor boys. What I'm saying is, this kid is a fucking winner. Jalen Suggs is a winner. Let's check out the preseason rankings. Preseason, Bleacher Report had him 5. Not too far off. Good job by Bleacher Report. ESPN had Jalen Suggs ranked 18. SB Nation had Jalen Suggs ranked 12. So a little bit of variance there. That's an average stock price heading into the year of 11.6. Currently, Bleacher Report has him at 4. ESPN has him at 4. SB Nation has him at 4. The Ringer has him at 4. And your boys on the Draft Act also had him at 4. That's an average stock price of 4. So, Albert, I ask you, our guy Jalen Suggs, is his stock price too high, too low, or at 4, is Jalen Suggs' stock on the Draft Act price just right?
Sometimes I have to give Corey a lot of credit for being our mathematician here and doing all the math for us. Luckily for you, you had it easy this week, and we're falling right at 4. And I think, look, Corey, I think for me, 4 is kind of perfect. And the interesting thing is, 4 in a draft like this year's draft means something different compared to 4 like in last year's draft. Like, he's a 4, but he's like a really high 4, if that makes sense. And I think, just considering, because, you know, the guys that we have above him, we've got Cade, we've got Jalen, we've got Evan Mobley, and Suggs being right behind them, that's no disrespect. It's really that close. and he's really that good. I can't put him any lower than fourth. I know Scotty Barnes is someone that we both like. I'm obviously a little bit higher on Kuminga, but regardless, Suggs, I think, is right where he needs to be. So four is perfect.
Yeah, I think this may be the most appropriately priced player of the draft. I mean, I think we both think Cade is also pretty appropriately priced, which we'll cover on, you know, the next episode. But I think that Jalen Suggs at four is the least contentious placement, maybe of like any draft in a really long time. Because even with Cade, who most people think is number one, there's been a lot of, you know, is Cade really a number one guy? So, and then obviously Houston and Cleveland, it's kind of up in the air what they do at two and three with Mobley and Green, you know, assuming that there's no surprises on draft night. So I feel like everyone is pretty confident that Suggs is guy four in this draft. And, you know, then there's the next tier of guys with Scotty and Kuminga and I guess Book Knight at this point. But Jalen Suggs at four, the most appropriate stock price for any prospect that we've covered this season. Let's get into Suggs' actual play on the court.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to start with his playmaking. So what kind of playmaker do you see Suggs as at the NBA level?
I think the funny thing with Suggs is like any conversation with Jalen starts with him being a former football player.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the offensive side or on the defensive side, they always mention the toughness because he played a little bit of quarterback, right? And he played a little bit of
quarterback.
And he played. I think he also played a little defense, which is why, like, you know, when he's like, you know, anyway, we'll talk about that later. But with Suggs, I think his vision, his passing is pretty awesome. Like you see him really shine in transition. I mean, some of those hit ahead passes are like, that's awesome. You know, like one hand, he's just chucking the ball with perfect precision and pace and all that stuff. But even in the half court, there was a lot to like. I thought he did a really good job. Thought he had a really good rapport with Drew Timmy. Finding Kispert for his shots. Ayayi with the back cuts. I mean, the cut master, Joel Ayayi. And also, But even in transition, like I really loved how he had great chemistry with Ayayi. Like he just knew when Ayayi was running down the court, and of course Ayayi was a willing runner. That dude was booking it down the court almost every opportunity he had. And so as a creator, as a passer, I thought Jalen was really above average. I didn't think he was like elite, but I thought he was really good. It's kind of how I would characterize him as a passer, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, like Gonzaga was so perfectly constructed. Or I guess not perfectly because they lost to Baylor in the championship. So near perfect. But it felt like they were like the college version of like the Utah Jazz where the pieces just fit.
That's a good one.
And it felt like Jalen Suggs, you know, this is where you saw the Mr. Football, the quarterback that everybody mentions. Like he just knew how to make the most out of his teammates' talents and how to find them in their spots and how to get them, you know, the ball where they like it. And that's what a point guard does. That's what a quarterback does, right? He runs the offense. He knows it inside and out, and he's able to read what the defense is giving to him. And I think that Suggs nailed that part of it. And then you mentioned the hit aheads. That's the most fun part of his game. He's like the missing, ball brother in that regard. He as soon as he gets a rebound, he's looking up the court. So if you run, like he's going to find you and he's going to hit you. Like you said, precision, just an absolute like bomb, right? Like a receiver, you know, quarterback to a receiver running down the field. So that's really fun. And I think that, I mean, the NBA game, like he is going to have so many moments, that, you know, with more of the bigger court. And I think it's going to be so fun with NBA level athletes, you know, because Gonzaga had good athletes, but you know, Drew Timmy is not potentially going to be, OG Anunoby, you know, running down the court. So I think that he's going to have some really fun moments as a passer there. And I just like the pace that he plays with, whether he was in the half court or in transition, right? He has control. He's another one of these guys who like isn't sped up. I agree. I don't think he's elite, and you know, and that's why, I mean, I don't think a lot of people are doing it, but, you know, you hear the, is Jalen Suggs Jason Kidd, the next Jason Kidd, you know, that you hear that sometimes. And it's like, no, you know, Jason Kidd is one of the best passers of all time. Jalen Suggs is just a very good passer, but it's very like, it's mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's no flash, there's no substance. You don't get the, where there's substance, there's no flash. You don't get the like LaMelo Ball, like double behind the back kind of passing and stuff. It's very just like precise, on point. Like I'm coming off, I'm going to hit you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, passing doesn't need to look like flashy to be effective. You know, in the Hooper versus basketball player debate, Jalen Suggs is definitely a basketball player, right? He's not the guy that looks like he's going to go to the crossover and, you know, put up 50. But I just love how he has control of the offense. I love that he can kind of make all of the passes. He can make the weak side reads. He sees the whole floor. He's a little bit like Jared Butler in that even when he's going left, he doesn't have like the left-handed passes, but he still knows that they're there and he can still make them. You know, he does a lot of the like overhead soccer throw-in type passes. But they're effective. And one of the reasons is because there's zip on his passes. You know, he rarely makes a lazy pass. It's very much so like fundamental by the book, and it's just effective. He's a really effective playmaker. Do you think he's a point guard at the next level?
So for me with Suggs, like I think he's kind of like the modern day combo, right? Mm. Because like he seems to be a guy who can pass the ball, create for his teammates, but also a guy who can get to the bucket, a guy who is a pretty confident jump shooter. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about his shooting later, but yeah, I just feel like he's going to be a guy who's going to be kind of a hooper or I sometimes get lost with that whole confusion, basketball player hooper, but like there's this energy to him that I really like. There's a tangible energy to him where when he's on the floor, you're gonna feel him. Like we talk about this a lot, Corey, where I feel like there are guys where that have skill, that have talent, whatever, but you don't always feel them on the court. That's kind of how I felt about Kai Jones. Suggs is not that guy. You're constantly going to feel him because he's going to make his presence known both offensively and defensively. And I did want to say, like, the guy, just like, you know, you were talking about his passing and all that, and he's got just a lot going for him. I think combo guard is the best place to put him. I like his size too, at 6'4", big body, really athletic. And I think like he's going to be a guy that you're going to be able to trust as your lead ball handler, but also would do a great job off the ball. Because for me, like, can we talk about his shooting a little bit, Corey? Just because for me, like, I feel like he's going to get there is what I feel like. I think like Luka quietly, or maybe not so quietly, isn't a 40% 3-point shooter. He's just not, right? He's not there yet.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about Jalen Suggs. Like, I think he might end up being like a career 33 to 35, maybe up to like 37 a couple years from 3-point range. But I think that'll be totally good enough because I think he's going to be dynamic enough going to the basket, creating for his teammates, where he can be a hub offensively. I think it just is a matter of him fine-tuning those details and fine-tuning his game where he, you know, just continues to grow into those different skills. But I just feel like as a shooter, from what I saw, I saw pretty nice balance, pretty good confidence. I like how the ball goes in the hoop with him, where a lot of it is like, if it goes in, it just goes straight down. Like, I like those shots. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It looks cool. It looks different. There's something kind of aggressive about the way that the ball goes in, if that makes sense. But yeah, man, like, I just feel like he's got enough there to be a really good combo guard who can score and distribute. And I think it's because I've got a little bit more confidence in his shooting than maybe others do.
Yeah, I mean, he shot 34%, which is not, I mean, it's obviously not the best, but it's not like, oh, you're a bad shooter. Yeah. I don't want you shooting this. And he definitely had like flashes as a shooter where he was like on fire. Like he torched Iowa. Like, I think he was 6 or 7 threes that game. So he's definitely not a guy that you're like, hey, just please take this three, right? He's not like Sharif Cooper. That's right. You know, but, and I think this is why I agree. He's a combo guard, because I think that he's going to be able to play off ball. And I actually think that'll help his shooting, because, right. and this is why I love his fit in Toronto. And, you know, we're assuming that he's going to go fourth to Toronto, unless, again, there's something weird. He jumps up into the top three, or there's a trade. But I think that playing next to Van Vliet, like Van Vliet's like an awesome backcourt partner for him, because Van Vliet's a guy himself who is going to do a lot of ball handling and dribble penetration. And that's kick out to Suggs. And, you know, when you look at the playmaking aspect of playing off ball, like when Suggs gets the ball off a swing, especially with NBA spacing, it's going to be like a running back hitting a hole. Like his first step will be lightning quick. And when he's downhill getting into the paint like that, we've seen the vision's there. He's going to be able to get downhill. And when the defense is scrambling, he's going to find guys. He's going to know where all of his guys are on the floor. And he's going to know where to get them the ball in spots that they're comfortable in. So I love him as a combo guard and not necessarily as the pure point. And I think in Toronto, there's enough playmaking between those two that they can both share the ball handling duties and the playmaking as like 1A creators for other people, while also both being, you know, confident enough in getting their own offense. And I think it's a really interesting fit for a guy that seems like he could be a guy who makes an impact right away, even if he doesn't put up like the gaudy box score numbers. But yeah, the shot, you know, I like, it does. It's got like, it feels like it doesn't hit the rim when he scores, you know, it's got good arc. I think sometimes it's like a little bit rushed. And I think that like, if he raised his release point just a tiny bit, I feel like it could help him as a shooter. Like he gets great arc on the ball, but I think that just raise the release point just a tiny bit, I really think that would like bump him up a couple of percentage points. But I'm a buyer of the shot, and I think he gets there on the bounce or off the catch. Like I think that he's going to be a guy that you can't leave open, and I don't know. Maybe the distance will be an adjustment from the NBA line, but I think eventually he'll be good enough, and he has the athletic tools that if he's just adequate, like he's going to be able to get into the paint. And the other thing off the ball, as far as combo guards, like I love how he cuts. I love how he moves off the ball. He was 64% at the rim. Very good. And with his cutting, he was a 93 percentile cutter. So again, you know, that's a big number for a guy who's going to be a combo guard.
Right.
But shooting's a swing skill. Do you think Suggs is going to have any problems transitioning as a finisher? Like 64% is very good, but was there anything that you're like, this is what he needs to work on when he gets to the hoop?
Well, first off, I did want to say, I love how we're tapping into all the, like the NFL stuff, you know, like
it's a big theme in this episode. It's a theme for Suggs.
But
Mr. Football.
Sense. Exactly. It makes sense because even when he's going to the rim, you feel the football energy with him. The dude is aggressive. He's fearless. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to talk about the physical aspect, he is very explosive. And also, he is strong as hell. Like, he's really strong. Like, and the funny thing is, the two guys that we're going to be talking about, obviously, we're doing Suggs right now. The next episode, we're doing Cade. We're talking about two of the strongest dudes in the draft. Like, I'm not talking about centers, but I'm talking about, like, as, like, wings, guards, whatever. Suggs and Cade, unbelievably strong players. I loved watching Suggs go to the bucket. There is just a ferocity and strength and explosiveness to him that's awesome. I did want to ask you this, Corey, because I honestly think you're like our shooting guru right now. I thought his touch was like a little iffy at times. Going to the rim, I didn't think it was like perfect. I think he could take some stuff out of like Davion's book in terms of finishing, with maybe a little bit more savvy, a little better with the angles, maybe a little bit better with like spin and touch around the rim, the floater stuff. Maybe he can get a little bit better at that. But there, to be fair to him, I think there were some moments where his floater did look good. I didn't think I saw him take a lot of floaters, which is something that I would like for him to work on and continue to add to his arsenal. Because, you know, I think when we look at a guy like Jalen Suggs, we're projecting him to eventually one day be like a 20 plus point per game scorer, an absolute dog defensively, who can also add with the like he averaged like what, 5.8, pretty much 6 rebounds a game, which is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, like I think overall, Corey, and I think, and I'd love to hear you talk about this, I thought the only thing that kind of bothered me a little bit was the touch stuff. I think that's stuff that he's got to clean up. But overall, when we talk about like the mentality to get to the rim and then to have that mentality plus the ferocity and intensity to do that, I think is awesome. Where he's lacking maybe a little bit is like the skill fine tuning type of stuff, right? Like the stuff that you love. Yeah. You know, Corey, you and I, we love the skill guys. And I think he could, if he can add a little bit more skill, more savvy, more finesse to his finishing, I think that'll just take him to an even higher level.
I think that's pretty accurate. Suggs is not by any means like an athleticism only guy. He's definitely skilled, but he's not Kyrie. You know, he, like you said, he doesn't have like the spin the ball and the English hits a certain angle and comes in necessarily yet. So I do think that that's something that he's going to have to work on at the next level. He's a football player, man. Like and it's even apparent there, like when he's in transition, he's making these like small, tiny cuts. You know, it's not like Jamal Crawford in transition where he's like shifty going side to side. Like he's a little bit line drivey, but it's so effective because it's like he's carrying a football and he's weaving in and out of like people who are trying to tackle him. And I think you see that in his finishing too. Like it's very tight off the glass. It isn't that finesse kind of, you know, skill-based finishing that he'll need to add at the next level. The other thing, I felt like he was a little right-hand dominant when he was finishing. Not to say that he didn't go up with his left at times or that he doesn't have a left. I think he does, but I think he definitely favored that right hand, and as most righties do. And I think that, you know, ambidexterity finishing in the NBA is one of like the biggest skills you could have as a finisher, because it makes you less predictable, and it's easier to, for a big man, especially when, you know, these guys are smart, they know the scouting report, it's easier to like guess where the player's going when you're so heavily reliant on that one side of the ball. And the other thing, and this is something that Derrick Rose always had an issue with, I felt like he's a guy that should have got to the free throw line more. And what he did a lot, because he has such good body control, is he would get up in the air and he would go like up, under, and around instead of going through. And it's not to say that, again, like he's tough. It's not like he's not willing to go into your chest. Like he had moments where he did that too. And he's really aggressive when he does attack the hoop. But there is that part of his game that is finesse instead of power, where he's trying to just go like up and under and whatnot. And I wonder, you know, if his game is a game that's what you should be going for. I feel like he's a guy that needs to take that football player mentality and just try to get to the free throw line a lot, because, you know, we talk about his shooting, we're buyers in it, but it could be a process. He's not going to be a guy who's going to come in and light it up right away, I don't think. And being efficient at the rim and getting to the free throw line is going to be important for his overall efficiency. And I think that just taking that toughness and aggressiveness that he plays with and bringing that to his rim finishing, I think maybe something that he needs to work on.
Yeah. I definitely agree, Corey. And I like what you said about like the straight line stuff, because it's there. It like you mentioned that with the whole another football analogy, but the breaking the tackles type of thing. Like later on, we're going to talk about like my NBA comp for him, another 90s guy, but it's that ability for him to just absorb contact so well at his size. Like you don't really see that very often for like a point guard, combo guard, you know, like those guys who can really absorb that contact and keep going. And I thought it was really interesting what you said about how you don't really see him like going through people enough. And if he can, with what he has in terms of physical like gifts, that he's going to be insane, dude. he's going to be really, really good. And I think that'll be really interesting to see. And really quickly, just going along the lines with our NFL comps, I forgot to mention before during the passing thing, the thing that I love about Suggs as a passer is that I think he's got the home run stuff where he's like throwing it deep, right? Like a Justin Herbert for the Chargers. But then he's also good at like the half court stuff, right? Like a Joe Burrow with the Bengals, where he can hit, you know, the short passes and be really accurate and smart with that stuff. And so I think with Suggs, like, he's just a guy that is doing a really good job of taking that football energy and applying that to basketball, unlike Kevin Knox, who was also a former football player and wasn't able to channel that into basketball. And he had rebounds getting ripped out of his hands by Zion in summer league. So Jalen Suggs seems to be the better version of that so far.
Well, let's just hope that whatever the NBA equivalent of having a bad offensive line is, let's hope that Jalen Suggs doesn't have that with him. I guess maybe not having shooters around him. I don't know. Cause you know, I pray for Joe Burrow.
Which is why Toronto, I think I agree with you, would be such a great spot for Suggs. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And then he's surrounded with, you know, defensive prospects, and it's a really good fit for him. What do you think of his handle?
So for me, what I wrote in my notes, let me see what I wrote. I wrote, I thought his handle was good, not great. Thought he had a tendency to pick up his dribble too easily at times. It was what I wrote. I think it was good. Like, I don't want to sound like I was hating on his handle. I thought it was good. There is some shake to him, some wiggle. I didn't think he was like Sharif Cooper or Trey Mann with his handle, but you know, like we mentioned, football guy, but good. And I thought he did a good job of using his explosiveness to complement his handle. Like, you know, he uses his speed, his first step, his quickness to get by guys, but at the same time, I didn't think his handle was like loose or bad at all. The only thing that I didn't like was there were some times when I was watching him play where I thought he picked up his dribble a little too early. Sometimes I would like him to kind of keep that going a little bit and probe the defense a little bit longer. But is that fixable? Of course, 100% that's fixable. So in terms of his handle, I thought it was good, not great. And I would like him to keep the dribble live a little bit longer was what I wrote.
Yeah, that's a great point, the keeping the dribble live. I mean, so many young players will find themselves in a particular situation, or they won't find a solution to what they're doing right away, and they'll pick it up. And that isn't always good, especially if, you know, the offense is out of sorts. You know, you love to see point guards who can kind of do like the Gretzky dribble where they like probe underneath the hoop and come back out, or the Nash dribble, you know, whatever you want to call it. And Suggs sometimes out on the perimeter, like he'll pick it up quick and then kind of probe, and he can make those reads after he picks it up. He'll skip the ball cross court and just throw a laser to somebody in the corner. But yeah, I think that that's definitely an area of his handling that it's really a decision-making thing. It's not necessarily the skill thing, right? Because he doesn't have, like you said, Trey Mann's handle, but it's good. It creates separation. He'll be able to get his shot. He'll be able to break guys down and get into the paint. It's just like he does so many fun things, but like on the surface, and we'll talk about, I think, why, because I think it has to do more with like his intangibles and like that energy and aggressiveness that he plays with. Cause on the surface, he's kind of like boring, like as like his, like skill wise, like he's not going to cross you out of your shoes. He's not going to pull up from 35 like Steph, you know, he's kind of boring in that regard, but he does the way he plays makes everything he does really fun. Do you have any final thoughts on his offense?
Anything
we missed?
Just to piggyback off what you said, I feel like it's kind of similar to what we talked about Jared Butler, but he's kind of like a basketball purist type of guy. Like if you like guys who are just going to do smart things and play with like the type of energy that coaches are looking for, then you're going to love Jalen Suggs. And then now, honestly, Corey, this is interesting. Like I think some of the more exciting things about him, we're about to talk on the defensive side, like which is, you know, interesting, you know, and I think speaks to the the reason why he's number four kind of universally, because he's got a lot going on the defensive side of the ball too. So yeah, that's all I wanted to throw in there. I think there's a basketball purist type of thing to him where you're really going to like him if you're into guys doing the right things on the court.
Yeah, he's kind of like a point guard pre Tim Hardaway. Like, that's kind of like how he plays, you know, like Tim Hardaway, you know, killer crossover came, and, you know, that's now what right. I like watching out of a point guard. But he's much more like, I feel like he has like Mark Price. Like, Mark Price is awesome. He's fun to watch, but it, you know, it's like, he's the definition of like point guard when you had looked it up, or, you know. All right, let's hit his defense. What kind of defender do you think he could be in the NBA?
Like, as a comparison, or just like over, like just
yeah. What do you, I don't know. Do you, okay. I mean, yeah. High level, low level.
Oh, Jesus. I think really high level, really, really high level. Like, the first thing that I know everybody talks about with Jaylen that I want to talk about, regardless, I don't care what other people are talking about. I love his, like, the stuff that he does in the passing lanes. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. We were talking about Revis, Nnamdi Asamoah type of stuff, where he, the anticipation and the explosion, right? I was watching, they were playing either Iowa or some whatever. The commentator was like, that's what you call closing speed in the NFL. And that's exactly what he has. You know, he was able to close and, you know, rip those passes in the passing lanes. Does a great job with his hands. I thought, man, his hands are active, dude. Him as a defender, I think the perfect way to describe him is engaged. Jalen mm-hmm. Suggs is a terrifyingly, aggressively engaged defender. Like, it's yeah. unreal. And we talk about that tangible energy. You feel it every second on the defensive side. The one thing I did want to say, we always have to add a caveat, right? We're talking about 20-year-old kids. He gambles. He does gamble. He likes to gamble. And it's because he really does believe in himself as a cornerback, as a defensive back, to go and steal those passes. But the thing that I love about Jalen Suggs is, even when he handles, he uses that closing speed to catch up and to contest and to do whatever yeah. he can, you know? And like, that's, what is that, Corey? We're talking about energy, athleticism, whatever, but that's heart. The guy yeah. plays with heart. He plays like he actually cares. Like, this isn't a guy who is resting on his talent or resting on skill. He's a guy that is making and creating his own success on the defensive side of the ball. And that's really admirable, number one. But, you know, we've hinted at this all draft season long, but this is kind of the reason why he is the coach's son. He is the coach's dream, because the passion that he plays with on the defensive side, that's infectious stuff. That's the type of stuff that other guys who don't defend will see, feel, and want to defend. And so that's, yeah, I think he's a really influential, engaged defender, both against the other team, but also for his teammates as well.
Yeah. When the best player on the team is playing defense, it's infectious. The rest of the team is going to want to grind. And he's a leader. You know, that's his thing. He just exudes leadership. And again, it goes back to the quarterback. Like, he's going to play the way he expects everybody else to play. And you saw that this year at Gonzaga. And it's one of the many reasons that they were so successful. But yeah, you can't count how many pick sixes he got playing those passing lanes. His anticipation is crazy. And yeah, he gambles. But, you know, I think when you're as good in the passing lanes as he is, it's a worthwhile gamble. And if you're in a system like he's potentially going to Toronto, like, that's a defensive team that they play on strings. So, you know, you can gamble when you have backline help, when you have guys who are going to make the right rotations and cover for you. That's what help defense is. You're helping the guy, right? So if you make one mistake, somebody's going to cover for you. And so I think Toronto, you know, from that perspective, is a great fit for him. On the ball, you know, he's got the opportunity to just be a ball hawk. You know, my guy Mike Schmitz compares him to Drew Holiday. I don't necessarily know if he'll be as impactful as Drew Holiday, especially with the offensive load he's going to carry. And I think Drew has some physical gifts that he doesn't necessarily have. Right. But the guy just he just brings it, man. He's like, he gives a shit. He plays with the intensity that he's trying to dictate the defensive matchup. And that's what I love about aggressive defenders. I like guys who bring it to the offensive player. And instead of letting the offense decide what they want to do, that it's you're making that player have to think, and you're forcing them to maybe not get into their offense as early. And now, in you know, you go to the NBA, the shot clock is less than college. Every second's valuable. You know, it's one of the things that I think people love about Scottie Barnes, and you know, the fact that he was picking guards up full court. You know, he's disrupting the offense, and I like disruptors. I think Jalen Suggs can be a disruptor on the ball.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't, and I wouldn't classify it as a worry because I'm not worried about it, but he feels like a two position defender. You know, I don't like, you know, he's got good size. He's got good strength. I'm not worried about him getting switched on to a small forward, but like, I don't think he's going to be a guy who you can match up onto a good small forward, an elite small forward, because I think that, you know, he's got a short wingspan. So I think that, you know, there were examples during the season where guys can kind of just like rise up and shoot over him. And even if he gets a good contest, sometimes it's just like, he's not doing enough to, you know, mess up the shooter's line of sight due to his wingspan. But I think what he could do on the ball to ball handlers is going to be really impressive at the next level.
Yeah, I just to piggyback off of your point about on the ball, like just as like a technical thing, I thought he did a great job of, number one, moving his feet. I think he moves his feet really, really well. Like an NFL cornerback, he's got great hips. I think he can switch stances, and you know, he's got the swivel hips. You know, he can switch stances. He can really get in front of the defender, beat them to their spot. You know, that type of stuff I think is really, really important. And then on top of that, as I mentioned before, great hands. I thought he did a really good job of using his hands. And I thought like he's such a smart, savvy player as well. And I thought he did a good job of trying to like use his hands well without fouling. I thought he did a pretty good job with that too, which is interesting because once again, we're talking about a guy who is kind of like a football player, and those guys can generally be sometimes maybe even a little too aggressive. But I thought on the ball, like there's this weird discipline to him. I couldn't believe how disciplined he was. But at the same time, like sometimes you can be overly, you know, disciplined and then you're kind of like passive, but his hands are engaged, his hips are engaged, his feet are engaged, his head is engaged, you know? So it's like, I'm with you, dude. I think he's going to be a really high level defender. But I just, for me, like one, the, especially on ball that stuck out to me a lot was I loved how he moved his hips. I loved how he moved his feet. And that stuff is really, really important against elite level athletes. And kind of like what we talked about last week, Jared Butler, where I agree with you, I think he's going to be a two position defender type of guy. Like he's going to have a hard time against LeBron. He's going to have a hard time against Kevin Durant, you know? And so, but at the same time, like, he's going to give you so much value with all the stuff that we talked about. So clearly we can see him as like an almost, no, yeah, I could definitely see him becoming an elite level defender on the next level.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't touch on, and it's my favorite part, and honestly, it feels like he averaged more. He only averaged 0.3 blocks per game. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of him defensively, and I feel like it's like the defensive version of his hit ahead passes, I fucking loved his weak side shot blocking.
Yeah.
You know, like he would come over and just absolutely like punch a ball. And that is one of the things that's fun, but that goes back to like his savvy, his understanding and his energy and passion. And, you know, that manifested itself in no more of an important moment than that final four game where he just came over and erased the shot.
Oh my God.
And you know, maybe shot blocking is not a big skill for a guard. Like, it's not the most important thing. But there are going to be moments in big playoff games where you can expect him to go make a play on both sides of the ball. And that's really valuable. I mean, it manifested itself. Like, a lot of people will remember the game winner, the shot. But to me, like, what embodies Jalen Suggs, if you could just show somebody one clip of Jalen Suggs, it would be the block and then grabbing the ball, going up the court, and making that the three-quarter court bounce pass in transition. To me, that epitomizes who Jalen Suggs is as a player, and it speaks to the intangibles. And that, to me, is what, like, I will not bet against Jalen Suggs.
Right.
You know, we speak about intangibles for some prospects. It's, you can't measure it. It's not something that you're going to find on Synergy. But it's important. How important is it? How much do you weigh those, you know, do you weigh the intangibles? How much should a winning mentality matter for a prospect in the draft process?
Well, Corey, really quickly, just to kind of wrap on the I did really want to piggyback off what you said in terms of the weak side block stuff. You mentioned how the numbers were kind of low with his blocks. I think it's because some of them he just didn't get credit for. Like, I saw a lot of times where he was coming weak side and he would alter a shot and obviously not get a block for it. But because he was present and he was there and he was jumping with these guys, he influenced the play. So that very easily transitions to my next point where you're talking about tangibles and how important that is. Corey, I think, I mean, we've talked about some guys on this pod that have immense talent and have unbelievable God-given gifts. We talked about Zaire Williams. We talked about Kai Jones. We've talked about a lot of guys, right? I'm sorry, whoa, my phone alarm. We talked about Keon Johnson, right? These guys have been gifted by God with some unbelievable talents, right?
Yep.
We talk about a guy with, like, Jalen Suggs. He has a lot of those talents, but he's got the heart of a lion, as corny as that sounds. He does. He absolutely does. This is a guy that, as you mentioned, if we were to bet against him, that would be the worst decision we could ever make. Like, he's just a guy that we know is going to absolutely put in the work and make a career of himself. Like, you know, I'm just going to refer to the Podfather. After RJ Barrett's rookie season, a lot of people were down on RJ Barrett, right? And Bill Simmons said on his pod, I'm an RJ believer, because you could just tell that this is a kid that's going to go in the gym, put up 10,000, 20,000 shots a day, and he's going to make himself into a better player. In his second season, RJ Barrett shot 40% from three, and which is a reason why I'm such a big believer and why I love RJ Barrett so much. The thing with Jalen Suggs is that he is an unbelievable athlete, has an unbelievable body, and he's got all of the work ethic, all of the fire, all the tenacity. And so, Corey, like, it really comes down to that. Like, if you're looking for a star and you want to bet on somebody to become a star, you want the guys that are ridiculously athletic and talented, but also have the heart that matches that. And so that's why with Jalen Suggs, I think it's unbelievably important that we continue to emphasize his heart. And Corey, I think you and I are both big believers of that too. So he's just, it's so easy for us to love Jalen Suggs, I think.
Yeah, you can't say a bad word about Jalen Suggs as a basketball, like, if you're a basketball fan, you can't not like and appreciate what he brings to the table. You know, look, if you're betting against him, the odds better be really fucking good. Like, it better be some, like, you better be making a lot of money on that bet, because I'm not doing it. And if you told me that Jalen Suggs ends up being the biggest winner in this draft, maybe not putting up the scoring numbers of a Jalen Green, maybe not getting the accolades of a Cade Cunningham, but if you told me he just ended up winning more than anybody in this draft, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that.
Easy.
Yeah. You know, do you think he's an instant impact player next year? And he's going to a team potentially in Toronto. Maybe, you know, you have some other teams like OKC who may be looking to trade up. And they're, you know, I know OKC is in big time rebuilding mode, but like when SGA played, they were pretty good. So is Suggs the kind of guy that, like, you add him to the roster, and if you're close, if you're on the playoff fringe, is he a guy that pushes you over the edge?
So I think with the Thunder, it'll be interesting to see their philosophy, because if they want to tank another season, then they can't take Jalen Suggs. I really believe that, man. Yeah, I really believe that. Like, I think if Jalen Suggs walks into Oklahoma City, gets paired up with Shai Gilgeous, they're going to be scratching. They're going to be fighting for the playoffs every single day of next season. Like they're going to, I'm not saying they're going to be title contenders. Please, please guys, if you're listening to this, I'm not saying this at all. What I'm saying is the willpower and the talent of those two guards would be unbelievable. I think if he gets to Toronto and that's, I think Toronto's interesting, right? If Kyle Lowry ends up leaving, going to another team, another contender, then we're talking about a rotation of potentially Jalen Suggs, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent, OG Anunoby. That's Trent's still going to be there, right? I think so.
I think he's restricted, but
okay.
I'd imagine that they would want. I would imagine they're bringing him back.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Pascal Siakam. If Siakam stays, like it's fun with Chris Boucher, and I think Boucher showed a lot last season. I think they really like Boucher a lot too. So I think. Instant impact, I think absolutely. I don't think he'll walk in and be a 20-point scorer a game, but I think he could get to like 14, 15 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5, 6 assists. Like there's a lot that he's going to be able to do and show even more of on the next level. And then once again, Corey, like we thought he was good in college. He's only going to get better in the next level because of how hard he works. Like I can't even imagine what he's doing in the lab, in the gym right now as we speak. Like even on draft week, I can't imagine him like sitting back and just being like, man, it's draft week, time to go. Like I feel like he's in a gym somewhere. I think he's working really hard right now. I think he's taken already. What time is it? We're on the East Coast. It's like what, 8:04 a.m. on the East Coast right now.
Yeah.
He's probably already put up about 2,000 shots this morning. Like that's how I feel about Jalen Suggs. And so I think he can most definitely be a initial impact guy in the league.
Yeah, I think that if he goes to Toronto, he could definitely be a floor raiser. You know, like I don't think that let's say that Houston threw a curveball and was like, we're taking Jalen Suggs. We believe in the kind of impact he could have on a culture. Let's just say things got really fucking crazy at the draft.
Wow.
Houston's not turning into a playoff team next year. You know, he's not taking a team like that and totally transforming them in that way. But if you add him as a complementary piece, you know, like I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who you're looking at as like the number one option superstar guy. But I think like he is going to be like the most elite complementary player you can think of. Like, I think that's what his peak potential could be. You know, I think he's like, he's not going to be a guy like Cade has the potential to be like a 10-time all-star. I think Jalen Suggs is more like, he's probably going to be like a 4 or 5-time all-star kind of potential. Cause there's so many good guards in this league. And I don't think he's going to have like the gaudy counting stats.
Right.
But he is a guy that coaches are going to love and vote in. But he's not going to be a guy that's going to come in and reinvent a bad franchise immediately. Like, I don't think he's an absolute, like, game-changing prospect in that regard. But even still, like, LeBron didn't make the playoffs his first year. You know, right. Like, Luka didn't make the playoffs. Carmelo Anthony did, though.
I know. I was about to say that.
I've always been a Carmelo guy. I'm a Carmelo truther. But I think if you put him on an OKC or a Toronto, I think he could be a guy that's pushing you towards that playoff fringe and maybe get you over the edge.
No, I 100% agree with that. And I think it's going to be interesting. You mentioned like, you know, the all-star stuff. Like, I really agree with that. And I think like people might listen to this and be like, if he's not going to be a 10-time all-star, why take him at 4? Like, dude, like, think about it. If you're getting like a Mike Conley, if you're getting a Jrue Holiday, not that he is like he plays like them, but you know what I mean? Like an elite guard who maybe doesn't make the all-star team every year. Why should that stop you from taking him at 4? I think that's ridiculous. I think the influence that he's going to have on both sides of the floor, you should 100% be confident in taking a guy at, like that at 4. So I'm kind of with you on that. And I think he's going to be a really interesting guy. Like, yeah, it still kind of feels like he's just going to end up at 4 to Toronto. I think it'd be, not that I think that Houston would be crazy for taking Suggs at 2. I just think like, we're going to be at the draft, Corey. We're going to be going insane if that happens.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
because the possibilities that cut, like the domino effect of all that, is going to be crazy. But anyway, yeah, I agree with everything you said.
All right. Before we do sell me this pen, I want to do if you're buying stock. So if you're buying stock in Jalen Suggs, who may you have bought stock in previously?
He doesn't have the same handle. And this guy that was that I'm going to talk about was a guy who didn't have like the greatest NBA success, and was not even, in my opinion, half the defender that Jalen Suggs was. But like, oddly, with the way that he goes to the rim and his strength and his ability to retain the ball and all that stuff, reminded me of Stephon Marbury. So Stephon Marbury, the thing that I loved about Stephon was that when he would start getting downhill, he always did that thing where he cradled the ball and you could never rip the ball from him, and was such a strong finisher, a guy who could easily average 20 points a game in the league and 8 assists. So for me, like, once again, the play style is a little bit different, but I think the reason why I connected the two is the way that they attack the rim. Stephon Marbury was so goddamn strong and powerful. So strong. And explosive going to the rim. And I feel like Suggs has that too, with his strength and the way he can protect the ball. I'm hoping that Suggs continues to blossom in that. But for whatever reason, that came to mind. Obviously, once again, Suggs, I think, is a way better defender. But just, you know, my mind is weird, and I thought of Stephon Marbury.
That's actually, I actually love that comparison. It is weird. It's not something you'd think of on surface level, but it oddly makes sense. And the thing that's the differentiator is the mentality. You know, like, Marbury was, I don't know. Marbury's underrated at this point, but he wasn't necessarily like the team first guy
right
early on in his career. So I think the mentality separates them, but it's an oddly good comparison, to be honest. I think he's kind of like, and again, it's aesthetically, it may be a little bit different. I kind of think he's like who we thought Lonzo Ball should be.
Oh,
you know, cause Lonzo was kind of like a bucket in college.
Right.
You know, he was like unbelievable. Like, Lonzo almost had a 70% true shooting percentage in college. It's kind of wild to like think about, you know, like he had the weird shot that every young kid tried to replicate, and it was effective in college, but it was never like, you know, you saw it was more gimmicky in the league. Like, it was going to be inconsistent. I feel like Suggs has the same kind of like passing chops, like especially in transition, but he has the ability to dribble penetrate, and that's what'll separate him. And I think like Lonzo was never meant to be a 20 point per game scorer. He was always going to be more hanging around that 15 point per game mark. Even if, like, I feel like he figured it out. I feel like, you know, he was a 15 to 17, 18 point per game guy. And I think Suggs is kind of going to be the same way. Like, I don't think he's ever going to have gaudy counting stats. I think he can get to 20 points per game in, you know, his prime. But I think for the most part, like, his wheelhouse is he's just going to be like that guy, 17, 18 points per game. I feel like he's got that Chauncey Billups-ness to him. Like, he's just going to – he'll get his. He'll lead your team. He's going to be, like, the guy who everybody feeds off of. He'll do all the right things. He won't need his points, but when your team needs him to need points, like, he's not going to be afraid to go after it and go get it. Like, you saw, he was like the lone bright spot offensively in the Baylor in the championship game. Like, right. He kept coming at you. It wasn't enough, obviously. That Baylor team was just too overwhelming. But, you know, I think that he's a guy that he's going to shine with the lights bright the way that Chauncey did. And he's a guy that you're going to want to make the decisions. And the rest of his game, I feel like, is what we kind of projected Lonzo to be. It's weird. He's maybe doesn't have the same height, but I think there's a little bit of similarities there, you know, starting with those hit-aheads. You know, I think it's a unique skill. And the rest of his game, you know, I think he's got some Lonzo.
Yeah. I agree with you, dude. I really do. And I think, yeah, and like his strength and all that stuff is going to be interesting to see how it translates. And also, like, I think the fact that we can't find like a super clean comparison either speaks to why we love him, because he is kind of like a sort of like a one of one type of thing too, where, you know, that football energy is so different and not so common. So yeah, I'm with you, bro.
All right, it's time. I think this might be an easy sales pitch, but sell me this pen on Jalen right. Suggs.
All right, sir or madam. you've got an organization that clearly wants to win. What I have for you today is a man, a player who will help you do that. Jalen Suggs is going to be an extension of your coach on the floor. He's a guy who is going to bring you elite athleticism, but also elite decision making. We really do believe that he's going to be a guy that will take whatever the coach wants to do and bring that to the court. He's going to make smart decisions. He is a culture maker, culture changer, an absolute defining influencer, not in the way that we're talking about like on TikTok and whatever, but he is a guy who's going to influence the way that your other players play. He's a leader. He plays with passion. And on top of that, when we're talking about skill, he's got a lot of skills and he's kind of like a work in progress, but he's already achieved a lot and going to be awesome. So if you're into that, you should take Jalen Suggs.
I'm sold. Even at the stock price of four, give me some of that. Give me some. All right. Any closing thoughts on Jalen?
No, I mean, he's exactly who we thought he was, right? Yeah. That's the old Dennis Green, another football one, right? They were exactly who we thought they were, right? And that's Jalen Suggs. He's exactly who we thought he was. He was a dream to watch, a dream to cover, a dream to talk about today. And if you're the Toronto Raptors at four and he's still on the board, you'd be drunk not to take him. You know, he's perfect. He'd be a really, really great addition to that team. I love Jalen Suggs. I wonder if we even fully covered him. We probably didn't because there's so much to talk about with him. And yeah, and you know what, Corey? I'm actually glad we waited this long to talk about Suggs because I almost needed like a second wind of Jalen Suggs. You know, yeah. And like just with all we talked about with like the Baylor guys and whatever, like watching him play against those guys was really interesting as well. I thought he did a really great job even against like Jared Butler in that title game. He was going at him. So anyway, Suggs was a dream. This was awesome. And I love Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, he's the man. I'm going to be rooting hard for him. I think the Toronto Raptors fans are absolutely going to be, you know, head over heels for this kid. Albert, tell the World Wide Web where they could find you.
You can find me on the internet at Alberto T-O-E. Gim is my handle on Instagram and Twitter. Those are pretty much the only things that I use. You can find me there and I will try my best to entertain you, but my job is not to entertain you. My job is to be me. So that's pretty much it.
Always be you. You can find me at the Hardwood Mag on Twitter and Instagram. Guys, stop hiding in the shadows. A lot of people have been, you know, coming on Twitter recently and being like, oh, love the podcast. Come follow along. Don't hide in the shadows. Come hit that follow button and have some conversations. It's going to be fun. You can also find my YouTube channel, The Hardwood Herald, on YouTube. Subscribe to that bad boy. We're besides the draft content that we're bringing to you every day of until the draft, as far as the podcast goes, I'll also be getting up a bunch of videos on the YouTube channel. And then like and subscribe and rate the podcast. Hit that 5-star on Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment. Subscribe, share it. Tell your friends. You know, early on in the podcast, we said this is the podcast to listen to if you want to thrive in your group chat. I know your group chat's talking about the draft this week, so make sure you subscribe to that. And if you're in Brooklyn for the draft and you see us, come say what's good, because we're gonna be there and we want to meet all of you. So that's gonna do it for our guy Jalen Suggs. Tomorrow we are covering Cade Cunningham. So get
oh
ready.
Boy,
get ready. All right. Until that time, we are out. Peace.
Peace.